Brethren, Berrien Springs, Michigan, May 21, 1904. Dear brethren, I was instructed that at this time and on this occasion, it is not best to speak on the subject of pantheism, or to read quotations from authors who write on this specious, deceptive error. The statements made in Testimony, Volume 8, are sufficient to correct the error. These statements will do more to enlighten minds than all the theories or explanations that our ministers may put forth concerning this matter. Dwell on present truth, on Christ's second coming. It is not the duty of our ministers to try to handle pantheism, for to do this, they must repeat the sophistry of Satan. Let this subject alone, and talk the truth. Fill hearts and minds with the solemn, sacred truth for this time. I am warned that the less our ministers handle the subject of pantheism, the less they will help Satan to present his theories to the people. Let the truth for this time be kept before them. Never, never repeat the spiritualistic sentiments, the strange, misleading theories, which have for years been coming in. The Lord has a message for our ministers to bear, but he does not call them to speak on the subjects upon which the minds of some have been dwelling. Those who do this place in minds seeds that will germinate and spring up to bear fruit. Thus people are educated to catch up the sentiments of Satan and give them publicity. Give the people present truth. Talk the truth. Fill their minds with truth. Build up the strongholds of truth. Do not bring Satan's theories to minds that should not hear in regard to them. Remember that the devil can be served by a repetition of the devil's lies. What the people need is not a representation of the seductive arts of Satan, but a presentation of the truth as it is in Jesus. The less we handle these objectionable subjects, the purer, cleaner, and less tainted will be our minds and our principles. The light given to Elder Wagoner was that, in handling over and repeating the arguments of opponents, he was putting into the minds of his hearers arguments that they would use against the truth. As objections to the truth are presented, Satan's angels make impressions on the minds of those who hear. I write this as a caution. In the meeting that we are holding, let pure, sacred, sanctifying truth be presented. Let these students who are attending this school feast on the truth. I was told to tell Elder Andrews and Elder Wagoner to present Bible truth. I was told to tell them that in their discourses, they must not present the objections of their opponents. And I have been shown that we are not to have any controversy over these spiritualistic theories, because such controversy will only confuse minds. These things are not to be brought into our meetings. We are not to try to repudiate them. The more they are handled, the faster they will grow. Keep these subjects out of our papers. Let them alone. Let the doctrines of present truth be put into our papers, but give no room to a repeating of erroneous theories. We are not to handle these erroneous theories. Those who try to handle them will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It is not our work to voice Satan's theories. Go steadily forward, building up the old waste places and restoring the foundations of many generations. Present the truth, sacred, sanctifying truth. Let the seducing theories of the enemy alone. Give him no ground on which to plant the seeds of these theories. I was warned to enter into no controversy over these matters. Let not our ministers or teachers or students give their lips to the repeating of the enemy's lies. God has not given any minister the commission to unravel Satan's theories by entering into controversy regarding them. Hold up the truth. Magnify the truth. It is written. Our people do not appreciate as they should the saving power of the atonement. They do not understand as they should the meaning of the words, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Our ministers need not go over Satan's false theories in order to save the people from error. Let them magnify the truth. The Lord is coming very soon. We have only a little while in which to present the truth for this time, the truth that is to convert souls. This truth is to be presented in the utmost simplicity, even as Christ presented it, so that the people can understand what is truth. Truth will dispel the clouds of error. Let the repetition of Satan's falsehoods be kept out of our papers. What we need in our papers is the gospel message that will save souls. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Isaiah 40, verse 9.
Keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and by beholding him, you will be changed into his likeness. Talk not of these spiritualistic theories. Let them find no place in your mind. Let our papers be kept free from everything of the kind. Publish the truth. Do not publish error. Do not try to explain in regard to the personality of God. You cannot give any further explanation than the Bible has given. Human theories regarding him are good for nothing. Do not soil your minds by studying the misleading theories of the enemy. Try to draw minds from everything of this character. Let each one now inquire, How can I best live the truth as it is in Jesus? Heed his words, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. Seek in some humble way to do service for the Savior by helping others to obtain a clearer view of him. Not all can make large offerings, not all can do great works, magnificent deeds, but all can learn of him his meekness and lowliness. All can control the desire to be first and can be filled with apostolic zeal. The meekness and lowliness of Christ revealed in your life will bring you into places where you can do service for Christ. The unselfish act, the warmth of a kindly spirit will do its work, resting agitated souls and bringing assurance and peace and hope. The Lord needs laborers who can minister in kindness. Some can bring pounds to the Lord's treasury, others can bring only mites. But every gift brought in sincerity is accepted by the Lord. He loves a cheerful giver. To every man is given his work. Some have a lowly service, others can speak with power on Bible subjects. But let no one despise the lowly service. Every one who keeps in touch with Christ can speak a word in season. What are our church members doing to draw souls to Christ? Are they honoring the Lord with their substance? We have a work to do to prepare the highways and hedges for our God. We are to improve every opportunity to speak a word for Jesus, to comfort tried, tempted souls with the promises of his word. Those who do this are doing a good and precious work. They are bringing others to the light. Remember that we are the Lord's heralds, his ambassadors. It is Christ who stands beside his messengers. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, he said to his disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 19-20. The more we dwell upon the lessons Christ has given us in his word, the better prepared we shall be to see and understand the ministry required of us in presenting truth. God employs human instrumentalities to speak his words, not the words of the enemy. Never, never, by putting the messages of Satan in our papers, send them to thousands. We are to teach the things that Christ has commanded. We are to work for high and low, rich and poor. Never deem anyone beyond the saving power of Christ. We are never to go on a warfare on our own charges. In sending forth his disciples on their first missionary journey, Christ said to them, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew 10, verse 5, 6. Why were these directions given? Jewish prejudice against the Gentiles was so strong that had the disciples gone then to the Gentiles, their work would have been greatly hindered. "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give." Verses 7, 8. We thank God that there is something for all to do. If each will do his appointed work, learning of Christ in all humility, fruit will be born to the Master's glory. All who place themselves in right relation to God, as members of his family doing his service as the result of the light given them and their acquaintance with the truth, will be richly blessed. It is those who reveal their faith by their works who accomplish good. They have the faith that works by love and purifies the soul.
God is testing us by blessings bestowed and blessings removed. Shall we learn the lesson he would teach us? Will we bear his test and proving? God has worked for his people by his Holy Spirit. By the bestowal of wonderful blessings, he has striven to awaken in them a desire to impart the light entrusted to them. "I have come to you in love," he says. "I have come to you in mercy and in judgment. Yet you would not learn the lesson I sought to teach. You would none of my counsel. You despised all my reproofs. My spirit has been grieved by your failure to respond to my love." To those who claim to be his servants and yet depart from his way, he says, "If thou art destroyed, it is thyself who art responsible. Ye will not come unto me that ye might have life." John 5, verse 40. Who will at this time make most earnest decisions to be holy for the Lord God of Israel? Shall the Lord again cause the idols of your choice, beautiful buildings, to be consumed by fire? Shall the reason be taken away because the God-given powers of the mind have been exercised in strange devising? By their unsanctified projects, men have burdened themselves and retarded the progress of the cause of God, till it is years behind where it should be. Our cities are still unwarned. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Matthew 23, verse 37. Satan prepares the way for the doing of many things that God has not commanded. If all had used their powers to the glory of God, the knowledge of the truth would have been much more widely extended than it is. It is the weaving into the web of so many figures that spoils the pattern. Have we not had enough of this? The Lord calls for a proclamation of the truth in new territory. This has been the burden of my message for the last 20 years. The Lord calls for greater simplicity. The people are woefully ignorant. Saith the great teacher, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 29, 30. As from the Mount of Olives, Christ looked down upon the doomed, guilty city. He exclaimed with heartbroken anguish, and with tears running down his face, "Oh, that thou hadst known, even thou in this thy day, the things that belong unto thy peace."
Then he paused, unwilling to pronounce the irrevocable sentence. But now they are hid from thine eyes. Luke 19, verse 42.